Welcome to Supernatural Stocks on MoneyWeb with your host, The Finance Ghost. This is your weekly fix of equity analysis designed for stock pickers. Whether local or international, you can expect a mix of news and my ideas about what I'm seeing in the markets. As the jets flew overhead in Cape Town to mark the SONA event, I couldn't help but reflect on the city I live in. Goodness knows it's not perfect, but at least we have water, for now at least, subject to rainfall. South Africa is certainly never boring, that's for sure. Cape Town is a special place, but there's a company that has caused a lot of pressure on property prices in the City Bowl and other sought-after areas. And this issue is not unique to Cape Town. Barcelona, Lisbon, New York, and yes, Cape Town, these are cities that have blamed Airbnb for turning residential neighborhoods into tourist districts, with serious questions being asked about zoning for these properties, and more recently in Cape Town, around rates and taxes as well. Hotel groups have suddenly found themselves competing against everyone who has a spare room. Local residents have been priced out of areas that they could traditionally afford to live in. This doesn't tend to be a popular outcome. And let's face it, Airbnb as we know it today has gone way beyond the original DNA of the business, where the name was derived from having an air mattress at home and some space to put it on the floor for someone to sleep on. It's no longer about just having a spare room. These days, Airbnb has created an entire industry of professional hosts who own and manage multiple properties. It looks like a business and it smells like a business, yet these super hosts often get away with not being treated as a business. And this is where the regulatory minefield becomes relevant. There have been many steps taken worldwide to try and address this. Barcelona is pursuing a full ban on short-term rentals in the next few years, with Spanish courts lending their support to this plan so far. In New York, hosts are required to be physically present, so that puts the Airbnb business firmly back to its original purpose, a source of side income for hosts, rather than a way for hosts to become hoteliers. The above-mentioned solutions are far from perfect. Proponents of Airbnb would quite rightly argue that it attracts tourists to an area, with many knock-on benefits. In the absence of Airbnb, hotels would have more pricing power, and they could price people out of the area anyway due to the reduced supply of beds, in which case tourism becomes difficult. And when there are major events in cities where there clearly won't be enough hotels, Airbnb plays a very important role in creating the short-term supply increase for an influx of tourists. A perfect example is the 40,000 additional listings that were created for the 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris. Of course, Airbnb loves this because a large percentage of those listings will be sticky. In other words, they will endure beyond the event. This is where it becomes a difficult conversation with regulators in these cities who need a solution for large events, but who also don't want to create more problems down the line. Airbnb cites the 2026 FIFA World Cup in the US as their next big event. I guess we will see whether threats of a travel boycott are serious or not. I genuinely look forward to seeing whether stadiums are filled with domestic fans or international travelers. Airbnb has become part of our lives, yet I haven't owned shares in the company since the IPO. The simple reason is that the valuation has always been much too high. Patience has paid off here because the share price has returned absolutely nothing if you take a 3-year view. The chart is very choppy over that period, so traders could have made money along the way. But for buy and hold investors like me, I haven't missed anything. But is there anything happening at the company that might change my mind? In the latest earnings transcript, Airbnb co-founder and CEO Brian Chesky references Amazon's business in the 90s. Specifically, he reminds everyone that they started as a book retailer and then grew into the Everything Store. The common thread on this journey? According to Chesky, that would be the humble cardboard box and anything you can send in it. Airbnb is figuring out their cardboard box. They are adding new offerings on the platform that might come as a surprise, like independent and boutique hotels. With 9 million active listings on the platform, they simply have to find meaningful additional growth engines to try and get the share price to move higher. Could hotels, traditionally their biggest rival, be the answer at Airbnb? I actually like this strategy. There's a certain percentage of people who will simply never book with a host as they aren't prepared to risk their holiday experience on that outcome. Hotels give a sense of trust, even though bad hotel experiences do also happen. By tapping into independent and boutique hotels, Airbnb can still give the impression of a curated and interesting offering. They can take advantage of their excellent distribution and technology to earn fees that used to go to other travel companies. And for those hotels, Airbnb provides a valuable route to market. Being inspired by Amazon seems like quite a clever strategy. The numbers are what really count, of course. The latest quarter boasts revenue growth of 12% year-on-year, above the upper end of guidance. Gross booking value, or GBV, that increased by 16%, representing their best growth quarter in more than 2 years. The take rate dipped from 14.1% to 13.6% though, hence why revenue growth was slower than growth in GBV. Now, these are solid numbers, but what really pleased the market is that they are expected to get better, with Airbnb's guidance for the first quarter of 2026 reflecting revenue growth of 14% to 16%. This is boosted by a slight increase in the take rate as well. For full year 2026, they expect revenue growth of at least low double digits. And again, that's decent. What about margins? Well, adjusted EBITDA margin, that's expected to be flat. This means that adjusted EBITDA would grow in line with revenue growth. This tells you that there is little operating leverage in the model, with Airbnb having to reinvest heavily in the platform to protect the moat and continue growing. Now, this brings us neatly to the next point, which is the focus on technology driving that moat. Will AI be booking your next holiday? Agentic commerce came up in the recent Alphabet results, and essentially this speaks to a world in which an AI agent is making your shopping decisions. It's therefore not a stretch of the imagination to think that we could end up in a world where your trained model, say Gemini within the Alphabet group, speaks directly to Airbnb's AI and then books your trip. You can also easily imagine all the ways in which this could be an absolute disaster, but technology always feels really silly until suddenly it doesn't. Airbnb is not making promises that are quite that dramatic. In fact, many of the improvements to the platform have been quite simple. Things like making sure that there is proper pricing transparency, where all the charges are shown at the time of making the booking. They've also been making a lot of sensible decisions around removing low-quality listings and boosting guest favorites that have proven themselves. This is solid execution. But unsurprisingly in this environment, there's also serious focus on AI. And if you're tired of dealing with AI support agents, then I'm afraid that I don't have good news. Airbnb claims that they are now resolving a third of all support issues without needing a live specialist. I often wonder how they define someone just giving up in immense frustration. Is that also a resolution? Jokes aside, Airbnb is taking AI very seriously, having hired an executive who led the generative AI team at Meta. This is part of why EBITDA margin is expected to be flat, because this stuff comes at a serious cost. There's an interesting concern among analysts that AI could be a disruptor to the business, not just an enabler. You could, for example, have other platforms spring up that work just off AI and essentially disintermediate Airbnb. Management's response is to point to their rich dataset and the extent of trust baked into the model, with 200 million verified IDs as just one example of how established this business is. Look, nobody knows where this will end, but we do know that Airbnb is investing heavily in it. They need to find more growth engines as well. One of the big wins in this quarter was the introduction of Reserve Now, Pay Later, obviously a play on Buy Now, Pay Later. That's not an easy thing to implement correctly, because you can imagine all the issues around cancellations and what this means for hosts. Still, Airbnb is seeing an uptick in bookings, as you might expect when you offer better payment terms. The growth strategy is also regional, rather than just based on products. 70% of revenue comes from just 5 countries. They are trying to diversify, identifying high growth markets where they can execute specific strategies and campaigns to drive higher supply, that is the number of listings, and user adoption. In a two-sided marketplace, you have to drive growth on both sides for the thing to work properly. Therein lies the challenge, but also the moat. A good example is Brazil, which has moved from a top 10 market to a top 5 market after a concerted effort to drive growth there. The momentum is impressive. In Q4, it was the second largest contributor to first-time bookers, trailing only the US. Does it generate cash? Yes, it does. In fact, Airbnb's free cash flow margin tends to run at nearly 40% on a full-year basis. Sure, they have share-based payments as a feature rather than a bug, and that does affect this, but there's just no getting away from that in big tech land. Another feature is annual share buybacks, something that always makes me think of the choice words that Jamie Dimon of JP Morgan dishes out to the analyst community when they hound him about returning cash to shareholders. In the tech sector, share buybacks are important to offset share-based payments. And according to management, Airbnb has reduced the number of shares in issue by roughly 9% since 2022. But the challenge, and Jamie Dimon's point, is that buybacks only really make sense when shares are undervalued. Airbnb's shares haven't been undervalued since the IPO, so buybacks are not as effective. To be fair to Airbnb though, they don't have many other competing uses for the cash. Unlike banks, they operate a capital-light model. Dimon is even more scathing of special dividends rather than share buybacks at the wrong price, so perhaps annual buybacks are the lesser of two evils here. And finally, the valuation. The price sales multiple is now 6x. That is well off the 3-year average of 12x. It's also lower than the 1-year average of 6.9. Is it cheap? No. Is it cheaper than it used to be? Absolutely. And with more growth engines coming through, the market just might show this name some love now. The 52-week high is almost $164, the 52-week low is just below $100, and the current price is around $116. Now, there's a lot of selling pressure in the tech space at the moment, but this seems like a worthy addition to any watchlist, as a baby that might just be thrown out with the bathwater here. This is the most interested I've been in Airbnb since the IPO. And whilst I'm always nervous to put too much importance on after-hours trading, there was already a nice bump up from the levels I've quoted in this podcast, so the market is showing signs of bullishness here. There's no such thing as an opportunity without risk, and these are merely my opinions on the stocks covered herein. Make sure that you do your own research, form your own views on the market when doing anything in your portfolio. Nothing in supernatural stocks should be taken as advice.